Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
We are individuals that are known by our relationship with God. And that relationship is established through a covenant. And when we examine that word covenant, brit, we find that it is derived from a word that speaks of purity. So when we enter into a covenantal relationship with God through faith, through the sufficiency of the cross, we are going to see that God begins to work in our life in order to purify our life. Now, why does he do that? Because that which is pure, he will bless. And this is what God desires to do. God loves you, and God desires to bless you. But this desire from him to bless you is a conditional blessing, meaning it's only when you are in his will and when you are doing his will, committed to his purposes, doing his program, only when you are faithfully walking in your relationship with him are you going to be recipients of his blessings. And when we are blessed by him, we are naturally going to want to worship him. We are going to have a true experience which leads to thanksgiving and gratitude. And God's work in our life is going to change us. And we are going to know the joy of the Lord. And through that joy, we are going to have power that perseveres in order that we might faithfully carry out the will of God. As his people, we need to affirm, not just with our words, but we need to affirm with our actions that the will of God, it is good. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Proverbs and chapter 28. The book of Proverbs and chapter 28. Now, we began this chapter last week, and we're going to continue in this same chapter, and God willing, we will complete this chapter before we conclude this worship service. And I want us to begin where we left off last week in verse 14. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14. It begins with a very familiar word, the word ashrei, which is a word of blessing, but also a word of happiness. And of course, there's a relationship between these two things. When we are blessed by God, obviously his blessings are going to produce happiness, gladness, joy in our life. And he says, blessed or happy is the man. And then we have a word, mefached. Now, that word in Hebrew is a word of fear, but be very careful. It is not a word of reverence, even though some Bibles will translate it this way. But when we examine it very, very carefully, we see something. We see that this word has to do with being afraid. And usually, it speaks about a fear or a being afraid that recognizes the superior of another. And that's what we should do. And how often should we do this? Always. Look at what it says. Blessed is the man that is afraid always. And this is one thing that we should do. We should know that God is holy, that he is righteous, and that God judges sin. And we should, in one sense, not only give him the priority of our life, make him the priority of every aspect and element of our life, but we also should be afraid of God. Now, he loves us. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. We've talked about he's a forgiving God, but nevertheless, we should be afraid of him. And when we are, that sensitivity, recognizing his superiority, his authority over us, is going to have a good outcome. It is actually going to produce this joy, this happiness, this gladness, and lead us to be blessed. But notice the next part of this verse. But, and this is in contrast, but the one who hardens his heart will fall into evil. That's the word, ra'ah. Many Bibles want to soften it, and they will say will fall into calamity. It's not the word calamity. It's not a word of hardship or problems or something that is unpleasant, but it's the word evil. And what it says is, when one hardens his heart, what is hardening your heart? It is rejecting the truth of God. When God reveals something to you and you say, no, I know what you desire, God. I know what your will is. I know what your instructions are, but I reject that and I'm going my way. That rejection of the truth of God will harden your heart. And what is it going to do? Well, notice what the scripture says. He says, when you harden your heart, literally, one who hardens his heart will fall into evil. Now, move on to verse 15. It speaks about a lion. A lion roars, and a bear, and this is a word for runs, and it's to run fast, to rush. And we might think of it as charging. So a lion, he roars, and a bear charges. And this is like a ruler that is wicked concerning the poor people. Now, the word here for poor is one who is in a destitute, in a very meager existence. This poor people have virtually nothing. And what it says is this: a wicked ruler, he will see that, and he is going to roar, meaning he is going to want to intimidate them, and he is going to pounce, charge at them. Why? To get whatever they have, to exploit them. And we'll talk about why, what is the motivation for such wicked behavior in a moment. But look now to verse 16. It uses another word. We have the word Nagid. Nagid is a prince. It is someone who has authority, usually because of a family relationship. His father might be the king. But it says here, this prince or this leader, this ruler, who lacks understandings. It's in the plural. What it's saying is that this one lacks this abundant understanding. He does not know what he should. And what is that going to produce in his life? Well, just keep reading. It says, as we continue on, Ve'rav ma'ashakot. What is that? Abundant in oppressions. It's also in the plural. So when someone, a ruler, lacks understanding, and he lacks an abundance of understanding, this one is going to be an individual who is abundant in what? In oppression. He is going to be very oppressive towards others. And we see in contrast, one who hates profit will lengthen the days, meaning this, when there is a ruler and he's not interested in profit, what is he interested in? Well, the implication is that he's interested in being a good ruler. He's interested in the people. He doesn't see his position as a way to further his own wealth. He does not pursue profit, and therefore he will lengthen days. And the implication is his days in leadership. One of the things that a true servant will have is a desire to serve those who he rules over, those that he's entrusted to. He's not going to see them as a means to his further profit, but he's going to understand that he's responsible to them. And when he has that, his administration, his rule, his place as a leader is going to be lengthened. That's what it's saying. Move on to verse 17. Now, we have that same word, and by the way, it repeats several times in these passages that we're going to be looking at. And here we have the word ashuk, which is an oppressive one. So a man that is oppressive with the blood of life, meaning he's someone who oppresses people, and he does so and being willing to even put them to death. So we have this expression, beit dam nefesh, with the blood of life. He has no qualms, no hesitancy in taking a life because he believes that it's in his best interests. Now, he is deceived. He is not someone who is sensitive to the instructions of God whatsoever. Rather, this one is all about trying to further his own ambitions, his own objectives. And anyone that is in his way, what is he quickly willing to do? He is willing to oppress these people and to even put them to death, to shed blood. And such a one, he will pursue this even until a pit he will flee into. And it says, doing so, meaning this desire for wealth, this desire for power, this desire to further his own desires, what does that produce? He is going to fall. He will flee, but he will fall into this trap, this pit. And it says, do not support him, meaning don't offer him any assistance. Don't assist someone who is such a misguided leader. Verse 18. The one who walks, and we have the word tamim, innocently. Now, this can also be blamelessly. So, one who walks innocently or blamelessly will be saved. Now, we see the difference. One who is pursuing his own objectives, he is going to fall into a pit. And no one is to help him in that situation. He got himself in there, and he can just stay there as well, because he's a threat to society. But it says, as we keep reading in the next verse, the one who innocently or blamelessly or harmlessly walks will be saved. But the one who is perverse or crooked or oppressive in the way will fall in one moment. Meaning this, God is able to take down the wicked, the selfish, the greedy very quickly. So one moment they'll be fine, but the next moment they are going to be taken down. And we see that so frequently. And by the way, we also see it with spiritual leaders. Don't think that spiritual leaders are exempt from these truths. In fact, they are most applicable to spiritual leaders. And that's why we've seen in the last few months, we've seen many well-known spiritual leaders that people thought of in a very positive way, that they were false, they were not what they professed to be, and in a moment, God brought them down. Actually, their own rebelliousness and sinfulness is what brought them down, but God exposed that in a moment, and they were removed in an instant from their position. God is able to do just that. So notice it says here, one who is oppressive in the way. So his way, how he travels, he looks for those that he can oppress for his own benefit. And it says, such a one, he will fall in one, meaning in one moment. Verse 19. One who works his ground. That's literally what it says. Realize many Bibles will say till his ground, meaning to kind of plow it and such, but it doesn't say that. It's a very generic word. Look at verse 19. One who works his ground will be satisfied of bread. So if you work and labor, there's going to be an outcome, a result, and that result is going to have a satisfying effect on the person. But in contrast to that, the one who pursues, and then we have the word rakim. What is that? Rakim is emptiness. I think some Bibles will translate this frivolity, but what it really is those things that are empty. What is being taught here? A very important principle. Satan, we know, is a liar. And he makes all types of promises, never intending to keep any of them. That's his nature. He is a liar, and we find that he's been a liar from the very beginning. So he likes to deceive. He makes empty promises. God never does that. If God promises, God will deliver. God cannot lie. God does not deceive. God does not tempt. What does God do? God speaks truth. And if we are wise enough and humble enough to take part in God's plan and purposes according to his truth, there is going to be a good benefit. If we're foolish and we do what we think is in our best interest and not according to the will of God, but what we want, we will be deceived and we will be pursuing that which is empty, that which does not satisfy, that which has no significance, that which comes to an abrupt end and it leaves us empty, just like what we were pursuing. That's the message. And it says here, the one who perseveres, or excuse me, the one who pursues empty things will be satisfied with what? Poverty. Now, the same word appears. Now, this word for satisfaction can also be related to be made full. So, you want to eat more? No, thank you. I'm full. You're satisfied. And what it says here, and the implication is, one who is pursuing that which is empty, such a lifestyle is going to fill one with poverty. There's not going to be a good outcome, a good result, a good ending to those who are deceived and pursuing that which is empty, the empty promises of the enemy. Verse 20. A man of faithfulness, and by the way, this word for faithfulness is in the plural. So it's not emunah, which is singular, but emunot. So a man of abundant faithfulness. What does it say? Rav. Now, we saw that word earlier on, and this was in verse 16, where it talks about Rav Ma'ashokot, which is abundant in oppressiveness, being abundantly oppressive. But now we're talking about someone who is abundant in what? Brachot, blessing. So a man who is abundant in faithfulness will be abundant in blessings. But in contrast to that, the one who hurries or hastens to become wealthy will not be unforgiven, meaning he will be unforgiven. This one is not going to be cleansed. He's not going to be forgiven. He's not going to be ignored. So one who his objective or her is to become wealthy, if that's what they're pursuing, they're not going to experience the forgiveness of God. The implication is, and when we look at that last part of verse 20, it says, Lo yinake, will not be cleansed. They're not going to be cleansed. They're not going to be forgiven. They are going to be judged, is the implication. They are going to be held accountable for their wickedness. Verse 21. Now, verse 21 has a very important principle. And we read it, it says, Hakir Panim, which means to acknowledge the face, meaning this. It's a Hebrew idiom for showing partiality. Don't show partiality. We all know that New York Harbor, there's the Statue of Liberty, and she's blindfolded, meaning this, that the foundation of the United States, at least in theory, hopefully also in practice, is that they judge blindly, meaning they don't look and say, oh, that person, if I am favorable to that person, when we end this court proceeding, that person will thank me, be indebted to me, will help me, will bless me, will give me. That's not justice. So what it says here, look at the text, verse 21. One who shows partiality, one who gives preference to an individual, it says, lo tov, meaning not good. And it says, concerning a piece or a morsel of bread, a man will transgress. Meaning this, when you have the idea of showing partiality, it means very quickly that you are going to be willing to do a transgression. That's going to be your character for a piece of bread. Now, what happens? Well, once someone finds out that you are pursuing what you want and you judge based upon what is going to benefit you in your fleshly desires, you will be bought and you will find that purchase for buying you will get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper until you're willing to commit a transgression for a mere morsel of bread. That's that downward spin that happens to someone who lives according to partiality. Don't do it. Look at verse 22. We have the word nivahel, which has to do with being afraid. But if you really study this word well, when someone is afraid, oftentimes something will happen to scare them and that person will jump very quickly. Meaning they will make a motion, an action, and they will be very quickly. In fact, it's almost impulsive. You can't control it. You're scared, and you just jump. Well, that's what this is talking about. So one who jumps, and the implication is jumps quickly for a portfolio, for a profit, for an element of wealth, it says, is an evil man, and he has an evil eye, meaning that tendency to jump quickly to wealth is going to cause you to have an evil perspective. That's what an ein ra, or in this case, ra ein, you're going to have an evil perspective. You're going to see things incorrectly. You're not going to be able to discern what is the will of God. So when we are such a person that we are quickly moved by profit, then we're going to have an evil perspective and will not know that a shortage, a lacking is coming unto him. Meaning, he'll have a perspective that is easily deceived, and this one will not know what is about to come upon him. And what is that? A shortage. Now, we see so many times in the scripture a paradox. One who wants to save his life will lose it. But the one who lays down his life for God will find it. So we have all of these paradoxes in the scripture. And we have one right now. When you pursue your desires, you are not going to be satisfied. You are going to be easily manipulated by the enemy. But when you pursue the desires of God, you're going to have a right perspective. You're going to have discernment, and you're going to be able to make wise decisions. Look now to verse 23. A reprover of a man. Now that word for reproving is really about wanting to set another in order, meaning in the order of God. So you go up to someone in love, in humility, and you want the real best for this person. You're sincere in that. You really want that person to experience good things. And when you truly have that desire, they're going to sense that. They're going to be more open. So when you reprove them, that is, when you want to assist them getting into the right order, doing the right thing, this is what reproving is about. When you do that to an individual, it says, and after, he will find favor. Now, the implication is this one that you are rebuking, that you are reproving, that you're trying to set in order, he is going to find favor, this one, more so than one who speaks with a tongue of flattery. So you will find, and it could be the person that's being reproved or the one who's doing the reproving, you are going to find in the end favor rather than if you were to speak simply words of flattery, trying to build someone up and compliment them and such. We don't want to do that. We want to be people of truth and integrity and understand that there is an inherent relationship between truth and integrity. When we walk in the truth, we're going to have integrity. We're going to have that discernment whereby we are not deceived by the enemy. We're not going to be manipulated by his false and his deception. But we're going to recognize them for where we are, what they are. We'll have a right perspective. Look now to verse 24. One who steals from his father or his mother and says, there is no transgression. Someone who does that steals from his father and mother. Now, we should be loving our parents and wanting to assist them as they need assistance. But one who, notice what it says, gozel. It's a strong word of theft. One who steals from his father or from his mother and says there is no crime. This one is a friend of a destroyer. Now it says ish, and we look at the last part, ish, mashchit, a destructive man. So when we are willing to exploit our parents, stealing from them, and that word can mean stealing by force, when we're willing to do that, we are a friend of a destructive man, the destroyer. It's a very strong word that's being used here, the word mashchit. Verse 25, Rachav Nefesh. Now, this means a broad soul. Now, most of the commentators believe what this is speaking about is pride. When you have a wide soul, what it means is that you're prideful. So, a prideful one stirs up dissension. But one who trusts in the Lord will be fat, and that means will have a fertile life, meaning this, that what he does, it is going to be blessed. There is going to be fruitfulness. He is going to live in a way that that which is fertile is going to be all around him. So there's going to be a well harvest, a large harvest. There's going to be profit. There is going to be a major result from someone who trusts in the Lord. Verse 26. The one who trusts with his heart, meaning in his own heart. And what do you do with a heart? You think. So you trust in your own thoughts, how you see things. You don't follow wisdom, knowledge, the instruction of God. You go by how you think a situation is. And what does it say? One who trusts in his heart, he is a fool. But the one that walks in wisdom, what is he going to be able to do? He is going to be delivered. He is going to be able to flee and not be captured by the enemy. Verse 27. One who gives to the poor will not have a shortage. It says literally, en maxor. There is no shortage, and the implication is for this one, the one who gives to the poor. But in contrast, one who, we might say, hides, conceal, or really this word is a word of ignoring. So one whose eyes ignore, what is he going to be? Rav, that's that word abundant. He is going to know abundant curse. And the word for curse is in the plural. So when you hide your eyes from the one who is in need, what are you doing? You are inviting curse into your life. God's punishment, God's judgment. You're not going to know God's favor. You're not going to have discernment. You are going to be easily deceived by the enemy, and the enemy wants to do one thing. What does God want to do? He loves you. He wants to bless you. He has a plan for your life that is going to be satisfying. But if we reject that, which we're free to do, what's going to be the outcome? We are going to be manipulated by the enemy, who only wants one thing. What does he want? He wants to see you suffer. God wants to bless. The enemy wants you to suffer. And you will experience an abundance of cursing from him. He will place many curses upon you. Let's look at our last verse, verse 28, where it says, when wicked one rise up, a man will hide himself. Meaning this, we don't want to be around wicked ones. Wicked ones, as we've seen in this study, they're concerned about their own wants and desires. They are very exploitive. They are quick to shed blood. And they are, by nature, out for themselves at the expense of others. That's what a wicked one is. So when wicked ones rise up, a man will hide himself. But in contrast to that, but in their destruction. And what does that tell us? Well, those who are wicked, they're going to experience destruction. Who brings that destruction? God does. God is a just judge. He will, at the right time, he will bring forth judgment. Those who might exploit others, those who seek after profit, and they may obtain profit. But here's something. Judgment day is coming. There was a very great sermon many, many years ago called Payday Someday. And the theory of this message, and it is a great message, is that payday, meaning you're going to be held accountable, you're going to be judged, there's going to be a consequence to your actions. But payday, well, it's someday. We don't think it's now. But one day, payday, that someday it will come. And when it does, God is going to cut that person down. Good example of that is Jezebel. She knew a lot of the luxury of this world. She got her way over and over and over and over. But one day, God says, enough. And what happens? She was cut down and she died in a shameful way. But that's for another message. Look at verse 28. When wicked ones rise up, a man will hide himself. But in their destruction, there will be the multiplication of righteous ones. Now, what does this tell us? A very important principle. God's judgment is good. We should be praising God for his judgment. Why? My judgment's not good. I tend to judge out of emotion, how I feel, what's going on in my life. I may be going through a bad time, a difficult time. Something may happen that makes me very angry, and I want to vent. God doesn't do that. God's judgment is always righteous. And we should acknowledge that as the heavens do. They praise God for his righteous judgment. So when God's judgment comes. In their destruction, those who are wicked, when God says, enough. What is that going to do? It is going to cause a multiplication of righteous ones. Now, some scholars see that this is kind of a kingdom verse. That God's going to judge, he's going to bring their destruction upon the wicked ones. And what's going to happen? Then the world is going to be filled with righteous ones. When I say the world, I'm speaking about the kingdom of God. Because there is an inherent relationship between the judgment of God and the establishment of the kingdom of God. I've made mention of that many times. So be assured of something. God is watching. God knows everything. And God has a perfect plan. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And he's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And God is going to, at the right time, according to his character, according to his goodness, he is going to execute that plan and bring it about. And what is it? A kingdom plan. It is going to happen. And let me conclude by saying this. If you know this book, especially the prophecy in this book, you know that things are changing. And there is that spirit of deceit that is coming into this world. People are confused. They are deceived. They are not understanding the basic truths. And what's going to happen? Well, this world is going to get darker. It's going to become more and more and more evil. And one day God will say, enough. And God is going to bring about the destruction of the wicked ones, those who were selfish for their desires. And after God does that, he is going to bring about the establishment of his kingdom. So if we want the kingdom of God, we also have to understand it's the judgment of God that brings it about. His judgment places things in his order, and eventually it will be a kingdom order. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're praying for. And that's how we should be living, with the knowledge that the kingdom of God is coming. Well, close with that. Until next week, shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.